Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider special. We do this every week. We always have awesome guests, but have we had one bigger than this? We had Danny Stutzman last week, but probably topped it. And then this tops it. We have Josh Pate from the weekly, the daily, the bi-weekly?
Tri-weekly,
Bi-weekly college football, Josh Pate's college football show that you can see on YouTube. You can listen on Apple, whatever you want to stream it on. It's on there. Couple times a week. He does some specials too when college football rankings pop out, just like he did last night. An awesome show that I watched today and last night, just kind of prepping for this interview a little bit. So, man, I really appreciate you joining us, Josh. This is amazing. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It's, you know, we were talking right before we started recording. Feels like November is both the longest month of the year, but moves the fastest. So it's like a 60-day month that moves at the speed of a 15-day month. It's really hard to describe, but, you know, could be worse. We could be on the playoff committee having to explain it all on live TV, which seems to be a very unenviable job and an overly difficult job, an unnecessarily difficult job these days.
So what did you think of it last night? Just kind of a 30,000-foot view of how new commissioner – new leader of the committee, I guess. In air quotes. How did you think that all went? He looked like he was sweating, by the way. Like he was sweating.
Oh, buddy. Buddy, it was 85 degrees in that room. If it was a degree, it was a joke. It went terribly. It was optics wise. It was the worst. I don't know how it could be worse if you're listening to the words. So presentation wise, it looked pretty. If you had it on mute, that's great. But if you were listening to the words, here's what they should do. They should at this point just take the data, like take the rankings the computer is spitting out and just present them and use the committee. Like if you need something explained, have a Bill Connolly or someone who understands how to speak numbers fluently walk in the room. Instead, what they've actually got, like anyone, all right, so first, we got to back up just a second. Anyone who actually thinks these people are sitting around a table without numbers getting them 95% of the way there to begin with is kidding themselves. So that's why they look like the BCS rankings. Like the dirty secret is it's pretty much just the BCS rankings. That's okay. Just say that on air. That's that reveal show, and then the subsequent explanation by the CFP chair should be the most boring 5 minutes of TV per week. And then the subsequent media pool call they do, it should be the most boring 30 minutes of content each week. Instead, they like bend over backwards to try and reverse engineer reasoning onto rankings that they're really not even responsible for, and you just sound foolish. The dude last night was talking about Alabama's rushing yards and their struggle to run the ball, and then he's talking about Miami and Notre Dame and how head-to-head hasn't come into play yet, but it may come into play down the road, which, by the way, on that portion of the whole thing, is part of the committee's protocol. They've just done such a horrible job of explaining their protocol that if Miami ends up jumping Notre Dame, people will scream corruption, and they have every right to because it will look corrupt.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I don't even know how I was watching it and just going, none of what you're saying correlates to anything that we're looking at as far as the rankings go.
Crazy.
It makes the Miami-Notre Dame thing is probably the wildest part of it for me because I swore I saw Miami beat Notre Dame.
No, you're just a simpleton. What you don't understand about football is there's so much more to it than what happens on the field and the final score of the game. That's your problem. Here's my problem with it. All right, that, like, period on the end of that sentence. But then also, I'm watching some of my Notre Dame buddies who I know good and well are making an argument they'd be totally opposed to if I did nothing more than switch the logos on the resumes. Like, so I know good and well, a lot of guys are just beating the drum for their team, which that's fine. But I mean, you're trying to, like, they're trying to paint everyone else as intellectually disingenuous because they dare bring up the head to head. Well, brother, that's kind of how the game works. Oh, but you don't get it. It's about so much more than that. It's about game control. It's about this and that. Yeah, but it's really not. It's really about results on the field. Now, if you got one fewer losses or you're undefeated, okay. I'm not sitting here look, if that were solely my argument, I would have to advocate for FSU being above Alabama, which I'm clearly not doing. But head to head, if you're remotely comparable, has to matter, has to have a premium placed on it. And the whole point the committee's making is they've got this backwards way of doing things where they comparatively pool teams, and only then can a potential head-to-head data point come into play. And Miami hasn't been close enough to Notre Dame yet to get comparatively pooled. Therefore, as crazy as it sounds to the layperson or the normal person, head-to-head did happen between those two teams. The committee's just telling you it hasn't had the chance to matter yet, but as they creep closer together right there at the finish line, all of a sudden it could matter. And all of a sudden they could tell you, oh, Miami jumped Notre Dame because of head-to-head. And a normal viewer is watching that saying, like, but they played in week one and you've had them ahead of them the whole time. Did you just remember they played? And then you'll have to have it explained to you. No, that's just not the way it works.
Well, the funny thing is, this is about TV ratings. It's literally they're building up the most dramatic finish they can possibly
They're
build
doing a
up
good
to.
job.
No, they're doing a great job of it, but that's what it's all about. Like TV ratings, like the conversation of Oklahoma. This is obviously an OU podcast, so OU being who they are right now, number eight, which is, some people look at it and go, okay, well, how is Oregon ahead of Oklahoma? And I really don't care at this point because it's all going to figure itself out at, between five and eight. At some point, it's going to figure itself out before the season's over with because there's enough pivotal games left to go. But your thought on it, just can Oklahoma jump Oregon? Even let's say they beat USC. Is there a way, like, they lose in the Big Ten, they're not going to play in the Big Ten title game. So therefore, like, is there a way that, for Oklahoma to finally jump them? I don't know that there is if they can't do it after beating Missouri this weekend. Would you agree
Yeah,
with that?
I would say this weekend's the litmus test. And look, obviously, if Oregon loses a game, it's a moot point. So we're talking about a scenario where they both win out. I'm not going to say I never say never with this committee. I'd have a hard time seeing OU jump them. Now, if you wanted to make the argument they should already be ahead of them, I'm fine with you. I probably agree with you on that point. I don't know if they could jump them. My question with OU has actually been the opposite. My question has been, well, what happens if they lose to Missouri? What happens if they lose competitive game to Missouri? Now, by the way, since the committee wants to go down this road of contextualizing losses and not just saying, hey, the numbers on the scoreboard are what we're going to go by, what if OU's like minus four turnovers or something like that and they lose 23-21? What if all of a sudden John Mateer, misses the second quarter and the third quarter, but then he comes back in the fourth quarter. So, the committee, by their own admission, they take these sorts of things into account. So, in other words, what happens if Oklahoma has, by the committee's standards, an easily explainable loss? Are you dropping them all the way out? And because I'm looking at their strength of schedule, I'm looking at strength of record, I'm looking at the fact that Missouri's ranked, by the way. And if you lose to them, there'll be a team in like the top 20, I would imagine, by next week. So it's one of those good old-fashioned quality losses. I'm just wondering how they would handle them on that front, because I think they're kind of set behind Oregon unless Oregon loses.
If you're a college football fan, you want Missouri to beat Oklahoma because Eli Drinkwitz post games are immaculately hilarious every time. He's the best. He and Lane Kiffin are the best two post game interviews in all of college football. I don't think it's even, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody else that might be comparable. If you can think of one, help me. But those two are hilarious.
I think Jason Eck at New Mexico, if you want to go way off the radar, he's been good, but no one's listening to New Mexico press conferences unless you're just a total psychopath. So yeah, out of the available like power four pool, I would say you've got two good ones there.
I mean, Indiana, he's cocky,
Yeah, but he
So
says that's a last year thing. He says he doesn't need to do that anymore.
I beg to differ. I watched it happen against Penn State after they won that game. So,
Yeah.
but he can do whatever he wants. I look, OU USC could be another thing that, and oh my goodness, would that
Buddy.
not be the most glorious, most awesome matchup? OU Notre Dame, great. That's amazing if that really pans out. OU USC would be epic. If that's not the primetime game, it would have to be the primetime game because that would be the most watched game in all of college football, probably the whole season, because of the last 4 years just built up angst, anxiety, vitriol that both programs have for each other because they just like to spat at each other for no reason over one head coach leaving for the other and all of that.
I don't get into a lot of the storylines of college football, like the games, enough for me. I talk about it because people care about it. So I'll talk about it a lot on the show. However, that would be a game where even me, like even I would be completely caught in a chokehold by that storyline. I could not get enough of it. That would be unbelievable.
You have to think that the College Football Playoff Committee is praying for USC to beat Oregon and for that to take the college football in general. ESPN is probably going, please, dear Lord, make that happen.
Say they don't tinker with their rankings. Like, there was a scenario, I was looking at it, maybe even as recently as this week, where if Georgia Tech wins the ACC, they could match up with Georgia in the first round. And so I was thinking to myself, does the committee want to avoid that? Because that would be almost an immediate rematch in the first round of the playoff. And they say they don't do that, but they don't show you their process either. So you're kind of left to guess. Having said that, if the price I have to pay for them tinkering with Georgia, Georgia Tech means that I get them tinkering so we could get OU hosting USC, tinker away. I'm fine with it. The less I know, the better. What I don't know can't hurt me. What I don't know may even help me. So let's do it.
I'm with you 100%. That is the game that everybody's praying for around here, for sure. They're happy, like, oh, you Notre Dame. That's amazing. That is another, you know, just helmet game, right? Like, classic helmet game. But OU USC is as well, but the storylines are amazing. OU Missouri, big game, just because Oklahoma needs to prove that they're not going to have a massive drop-off from the emotional road wins that they just came off of at Knoxville and in Tuscaloosa. Your broad sense of how this game's probably going to play out.
So what was the first 30, 35-ish seconds of the post-game OU hype video that they just played audio of me doubting them, which, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't deserve it because I did. And I'm not saying I didn't have it coming to me because I did. I'm just saying I didn't want it to happen to me. That's basically what I'm saying. I just want some people to feel sorry for me out there a little bit. As much as I, you know, looked at the Bama game, like I was really confident that OU was going to lose that game. I really didn't think it matched up well for them. Yeah. And then we know what I said. We know what happened. So for that very reason, and I'm not even talking OU here. I'm talking like historical college football context. Anytime you have an operation that's struggling a little bit offensively and they win a game based off other criticals, the other two-thirds of the game, I'm always leery of the following week. Because typically the way you win in college football is you just go score points and you win, and it's standard. Like, you score them offensively and you win. Now, all the points count equally. Like, all of it counts equally. Some of it's harder to duplicate week over week. So, like, if you finish plus turnovers in a given week, or I don't know how many times they pinned Bama down inside the 20. It seemed like a million last week. That's great. That is it's like a tightrope walk of a game script. And if it all goes right for you, then great. You just won a game. Can you make it happen again? Now, I think they can. The big question here is, will they? I think a lot of America was probably surprised when this point spread came out. And it was like, quote unquote, only OU -7.5. Yeah. But I think if you watched OU, you understand they're not really getting margin offensively right now. I don't know. Like, what's the latest on the health status of the running back room there? How banged up do you really think they are?
Pretty banged up. Like, they're, it could be it. I mean, there's a world where Jaden Ott trots back out there.
Buddy, hey, welcome to what we thought would be a week one headline. All right. So anyway,
I mean, there's a world that could happen. Like, could happen.
So if we're, it's typically a letdown spot. I don't think they'll be in a letdown spot emotionally. If they lose this game, I don't think it's going to be because they let their guard down after beating Alabama. I don't think BV, I don't think his staff would allow that to happen. What I do think is they could show up for this game and just some things go against them. You got a top 20 run and pass D lining up on the other side of the ball from you. They could make some of the same stuff happen against you that you made happen against Bama last week. Especially, like, that's why I go back to the running back situation. If you can't pound it out, and I don't mean run it for 300, because they're not going to do that against you, but if you can't get enough there, and you have to tilt to where Mateer's got to throw the ball a little more than you're comfortable with him throwing late in the year against an opportunistic defense, really underrated pass rush with Missouri. The thing that terrifies me the most about OU is if some of that freak stuff happens to them, that's what would bite them. And it's, I mean, I'm not drawing an equivalent to last week, but this is that same kickoff window as that crazy South Carolina A&M game was last week, where if you didn't make it an appointment viewing selection on your little preseason calendar, and maybe even going into Saturday morning, you're thinking, oh man, OU Bama 3:30, Texas Georgia primetime. And then your buddy's texting you, like, you better turn this game on, check out what's happening. South Carolina was explosive offensively in the first half, so they got big margin. I don't think Missouri can do that against OU, even at their best and even at OU's worst. But it is the kind of game that could have a weird-looking score on the scoreboard. One of those batted balls in the air, you know, could disproportionately tilt it. So I took OU to win the game because I do trust them enough to do that. But to say that I'm not nervous about it would be a lie because I am pretty nervous about it.
The run game, just real quick, the one thing I always feel that Oklahoma can always lean on, maybe in spurts, because you don't want to do it a lot because of who he is, but the one thing that they have that OU has that Alabama doesn't have is a QB run game. And if that running back room is banged up, we've seen Oklahoma do this before where they just lean on Mateer and say, go win it for us on the ground. Is there a scenario where you think he goes out and gets a C note potentially against this Missouri defense?
I'm going to tell you, my answer is no.
Yeah,
Now,
I agree, but I'm just asking.
I would do what you just said if I were OU, because someone's got to be the first. So
Yeah.
maybe I'm the first, but I'm just telling you, in some prep for other games this year, I watched what they did to Pavia. I watched what they did to Jalen Daniels. I've seen them against run threat quarterbacks this year. No one's really gotten them. So maybe John's the first one. He's a really good player. He's really capable here. It would surprise me if they
Yeah.
really like did a lot of business in the QB run game. Not because they won't be committed to it, just because Missouri's really well equipped to defend it.
Okay, lastly, just back to the playoff scenario. Let's say Alabama backdoors their way into the SEC title game and they beat Georgia. You know, that would be 2-0 versus Georgia. If that happens and everything else kind of stays chalk, do they jump Oklahoma and Oklahoma ends up having to go back to Tuscaloosa potentially for a rematch?
So I'm going to think it one step further. In this scenario, Alabama won the SEC championship game, right? If you don't put the SEC champ as one of the top four teams, you have killed your conference championship game. I was watching that last night.
That's true.
I was listening to people talk about this, like, well, what seed would Bama be if they win the whole thing? Like, if they beat Auburn and then beat A&M or Georgia, whoever, would they be six? Would they be five? And I'm like, guys, if they're not top four, you have totally imploded the credibility of your conference championship game. Because, by the way, I was in Athens last week. All those people are talking about not wanting to go to Atlanta. They're talking about not wanting. They're totally fine being the five seed or the six seed. Oxford, Mississippi. Those people don't want to go to Atlanta. They want to take that week off. There's your bye week. You're not playing first Saturday in December, and you're going to host a playoff game. So people are already thinking like that. So your conference title game already runs the risk of being very devalued. If you have a team play in it and win it, and they still don't get rewarded for a win with a first round bye, you've killed yourself. So if there is a world at all where OU is going to Alabama, we got much bigger issues on our hands as it relates to the integrity of the conference championship game and how that whole concept fits in the overall playoff structure. So I got a tough time seeing that. Like I was recording with someone else earlier today. We had a big debate about that because they said Bama's not going to jump from 10 all the way into the top four. I'm thinking to myself, I don't even think about it in terms of how many slots are they jumping. I think about it in terms of the added data point being a conference championship game and how important that better be. So we'll see. I may be wrong because we've got 1 year sample size on this. So it's not like we have 10-year track record to watch the committee's behavior, but I'd be really surprised if that SEC champ's not top four.
Yes, no, then we'll be done. Yes, no, on this predicting in advance, your crystal ball's out. You're Nostradamus.
And we know
What do
how well
you?
that's worked for me recently.
I understand. I understand. Is OU hosting a home game in the playoffs?
So they're number what right now?
Eight. They're literally the last home game.
I have OU winning out. So I say yes, they are.
Okay. There you go.
Because I'm trying to think who would Notre Dame's not going to jump them. If Bama jumped them, it's because Bama's going into the top four, at which point that cancels itself out. So,
But would Georgia pop behind them with two losses to Alabama would be the biggest question. Maybe OU's going to Athens. I don't know. Which is another scenario that could play out.
yeah. Hey, going on the road hadn't bothered you lately, so I don't know
It's
that I'd be
true.
all that scared about it. I'm going to tentatively say yes. I'm just going to bank that it works itself out. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Well, Josh, really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on here to the OU Insider Special. My name is Brandon Drum. That's Josh Pate. Everybody knows who he is from the Josh Pate's College Football Show biweekly. Make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel over on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to his podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching this version of the OU Insider Special. You guys have a blessed day.